yearning to learn and earn.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will testify on Capitol Hill in just a few minutes. He'll be talking about the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. That's in the wake of a critical report on the bank bailout program. All the while, some big companies reported not-so-swell earnings today. Coca-Cola profits tumbled 10%. Sales were down slightly. Caterpillar, the heavy equipment company, reported its first quarterly loss in 17 years. Delta Airlines said today it lost money again, but much less than this time last year. And Regions Financial reported first quarter profits fell 92%. But the Birmingham-based bank said its deposits and mortgage business is strong. So, where's Wall Street? The Dow at this hour is down, but the NASDAQ stock's up about 0.5%. S&P shares are lower right now, basically flat for Wall Street. European markets lower and the Asian markets closed down. All right, testimony comes in mere minutes, as I mentioned, from Treasury Secretary Geithner. And obviously, there is this stinging criticism from the TARP Inspector General, Neil Barofsky. Let's bring in Ashley Milne-Tite from our New York Bureau to talk about this. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
What does the Inspector General have to say in this report?
Well, he says there's really too little information about how these companies are using the money. I mean, he'd like the government to really demand some details from the banks about how exactly they're spending it. That's one thing.
Now, this is something that the oversight agencies called for before. What about the other part of today's report that looks at the Obama administration's plan for buying up toxic assets?
Well, the Inspector General thinks that the so-called public-private partnership leaves quite a bit to be desired. And that's the plan that we first heard about earlier this spring. He's afraid that it leaves some room for fraud. And to explain that a little bit, private investors have a lot of incentive to join the program because they pay a small amount to invest in these securities, and the Treasury and the FDIC take care of the rest, pretty much. So the private investor isn't on the hook for that much if the security drops in value. So what Mr. Barofsky is afraid of is that given those incentives to join in, some buyers of these securities could be dodgy because there aren't yet enough rules in place to prevent things like fraud and money laundering from taking place. And he'd really like, and he's recommending that stronger controls be put in place to prevent that type of thing from happening. I think his main concern right now is that taxpayers are at much more risk than the private investors, and that imbalance needs to be evened out.
And we'll see how it plays out on Capitol Hill today. From our New York Bureau, Ashley Milne-Tite. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Lots going on Capitol Hill. Tomorrow is Earth Day, and to celebrate, the CBS game show The Price is Right is featuring environmentally friendly fare, recycling cabinets, solar charging equipment, Ed Begley Jr. No, Begley's not one of the prizes up for bid, but the environmentally outspoken actor will make a special appearance on the game show to tout the green items on the Showcase Showdown. Those include a Toyota Prius and a trip that features donations to offset carbon emissions. The Morning Report on Tuesday, April 21st, 2009, at marketplace.org. IBM kicked off a week of tech earnings, or dare I say, tempered expectations. The company reported sales fell by more than expected last quarter. Yahoo releases its results later today after the bell. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports on a make or break tech week.
Apple, Microsoft, Yahoo, and Big Blue, the biggest names in the industry, report earnings this week.
If one of them misses, it can take down the entire sector.
Laura DiDio heads the research firm ITIC.
And they don't have to miss by much for things to come tumbling like a house of cards.
Even if tech stocks do take a beating this week, DiDio sees signs of a rebound. Here's one example. Many businesses have put off IT upgrades, and she expects they'll start spending by summer. Another reason for hope? Computer analyst Roger Kay points to sales of netbooks, those super cheap, albeit basic, laptops.
Netbooks jumped in the last year a lot more than anyone expected.
Kay says demand is still strong when buyers see something that looks like a bargain, whether it's a brand new gadget or a beaten-down tech stock. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Congress is back in town this week, and though you might not know it, the future of health care reform may be on the line. Right now, negotiators are deciding how many votes it'll take to pass health care reform. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Normally, to get a bill through the Senate, you need 60 votes out of 100, but there's an exception. If health care legislation is coupled with changes in how the country raises and spends money in a so-called budget reconciliation bill, then 51 votes will pass it. Democrats like that idea.
The real thing I understand is that Washington works on process, and the process very often determines outcome.
Stan Collender follows budget shenanigans for Corvus Consulting. He says the scope of what can be done to reform health care depends on how many votes you need to pass it.
If reconciliation is not used, I'd give health care no more than a 25% chance of happening. If it is used, it's 75% or higher.
That's right. This procedural debate might just determine the outcome of health care reform. If health care legislation that's yet to be written only needs 51 votes to sail through the Senate, Democrats can virtually dictate the outcome. And not surprisingly, some Republicans are crying foul. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Britain's largest retailer, Tesco, today reported full-year profits up 2%. But the picture wasn't so rosy for the company's U.S. venture, called Fresh and Easy, reporting losses there. Despite the sour numbers, Tesco plans to open 60 more stores in the United States this year. Tesco is the world's third largest retailer. New numbers this morning out of Germany show investor confidence moved into positive territory for the first time in almost 2 years. So does that mean the worst is over in Deutschland? Christopher Wirth reports.
The survey comes from the Center for European Economic Research. It shows the first positive reading for economic sentiment since July of 2007. The center says the improvement comes from current stimulus efforts and the fact that low inflation is helping consumer spending. A brighter outlook among U.S. and Chinese investors is also lifting spirits. But Stefan Schneider of Deutsche Bank warns not to read too much into these numbers.
For the ordinary, let's say, German version of a Joe Sixpack, a kind of survey drawn by a strange institute probably won't impress him.
After all, it is election season in Germany, and Chancellor Angela Merkel would like to show some evidence of a turnaround. Speaking yesterday, she said the crisis in Germany might finally be hitting bottom. The country's neighbors wait with bated breath for any signs of recovery in the region's largest economy, as that should mean better days to come for the rest of Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
An unlikely film has attracted a lot of attention in Lebanon. The Golden Globe-winning animated Israeli film Waltz with Bashir is about Israel's 1982 invasion of that country. The film, like all Israeli products, is banned in Lebanon. But as Ben Gilbert reports from Beirut, the market for the film is still huge.
About 150 people sit on couches and bar stools at this art gallery in Beirut. They're watching the last moments of the film Waltz with Bashir. The screening is illegal, but the police haven't come. Many say they came to see the film out of curiosity, others because they oppose censorship.
When they forbidden you to see something, you just want to see it, to have a point of view of what's happening in the world.
That's Mike, a young Lebanese who didn't want to use his full name for fear of being questioned by the police. Mike's friend, Lama Mata, says the film should be banned. Waltz with Bashir focuses on the massacre of hundreds of civilians at a Palestinian refugee camp during Israel's occupation of Beirut in 1982. Lebanese Christian militiamen allied with Israel carried out the massacre as Israeli troops looked on. Mata says the killings are still a sensitive subject here.
We have enough problems already in Lebanon, so with putting these films, we are pushing people to hate each other again and again and to reopen a door that is closing a bit.
The organizer, Ziad, says the decision to screen Waltz with Bashir was about business. He knew the film would attract a lot of attention. That's why he chose it to kick off his weekly screening of art house films.
We needed a very big movie to start the cycle. So it wasn't a very innocent choice.
Ziad downloaded Waltz with Bashir from the internet, but pirated DVD copies are available all over Beirut. This is Shatila, a Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, and the site of the massacre in the film. Ramez Husari's black market DVD shop sells a pirated copy of Waltz with Bashir for about $1.30.
People will try to find this film at Virgin Records or other big stores, but they won't find it there, so they come here to buy it.
Husari says he lost three uncles in the massacre here. Still, he says people should be able to see the film. He says the camp's popular committee, kind of a city council, may even show it at the next anniversary of the massacre. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
Merck this morning reported earnings fell by more than half in its first quarter, and overall global sales for the drug company dipped 8%, well below expectations. The company that Merck wants to buy, Schering Plough, reported today profits tripled thanks to a charge in last year's quarter related to an acquisition. Another pharmaceutical giant, Pfizer, is making more than $1 billion in the pills it produces for overactive bladders. This month, they stocked drugstore shelves with their latest effort, but some critics say patients can waste a lot of money on drugs they may not need. Reporter Carrie Grenz has the story.
To be clear, no one disputes the reality of overactive bladder, or incontinence as it's often called. Tamara Babandam is a urologist and a medical director at Pfizer.
People may go to the bathroom as often as 20 times a day, and sometimes if they're not able to get to the bathroom in time, they can actually wet themselves, have an accident.
Babandam says overactive bladder is underdiagnosed, undertreated, and that 1 in 6 people suffer from it. That's when the eyebrows go up. John Mack is a blogger and publisher of Pharma Marketing News.
Is it as much of a problem for as many people as the industry seems to be claiming?
Critics say no. It's a case of disease mongering, where companies, doctors, and the media exaggerate the extent of a condition, like irritable bowel or restless leg syndrome. Mack says he has evidence supporting the skeptics. In 2002, he attended a presentation by an executive from the drug company Pharmacia detailing their success in inventing overactive bladder.
It really made an impression on me because it was the first time somebody actually said that they created a disease.
That company has since been bought by Pfizer, and its bladder control drug continues to be the market's bestseller. Pfizer couldn't confirm or deny the validity of the presentation. Steve Permut is a medical professor at Temple University. He says pharmaceutical companies can't just invent a disease.
I think, you know, we know when there's a disease. I don't know of anything that I prescribe that isn't for an acknowledged medical condition.
But he does recognize the influence of advertising. Permut himself receives money from a pharmaceutical marketing group.
The pharmaceutical companies spend billions of dollars a year on both advertising directly to the public and to the profession, and they wouldn't do it unless they thought they could influence sales.
Permut says for many patients with overactive bladder, the treatments can be very simple. Avoid caffeine and don't drink as much. In Philadelphia, I'm Carrie Grenz for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.